It's Bill Left on WGN. Robert Lifton joins us right now. Robert is an entrepreneur, a contributor to the Huffington Post, a leading expert on the Middle East. His latest book is called An Entrepreneur's Journey, Stories from a Life in Business and Personal Diplomacy. Robert, thanks very much for joining us.
Oh, it's my pleasure to be with you.
There's so much to talk to you about. There's so much to ask you. But the one thing, as I look at your resume, the one thing that's standing out first and foremost, I'm just going to dive right in. You were Donald Trump's landlord. Is that true?
Yes, indeed. At one point, we were developing the hotel casino in Atlantic City, and the guy who was supposed to come up with the money backed off at the last minute. And we got in touch with Donald, and Donald came in and closed the deal. And as a matter of fact, it was early in his career, so he brought his father to the closing. His father kept asking me, is this a good deal, Donald? And I said, don't worry. And I was right. It was a great deal for him.
Now, I know that version of Donald Trump is a younger version of Donald Trump. But number one, could you see where he was headed? Could you see the empire that he was building?
Well,
and number two, was he nuts back then?
He was already a man of great talent and great conflict. He already had sued people who were in a deal in New York. The Priskers from Chicago,
yep.
As a matter of fact, and the man willing to take on Jay Pritzker at that time was a bold man. But of course, he has developed and he's learned his business model very well. His business model, as you know, is to get publicity. It doesn't really matter what people say about him as long as they talk about him, because that's what he's selling. He's selling his name.
But when you think about it, Robert, that's been an adage forever, is there's no such thing as bad publicity. But at some point, like, I don't know if he was ever the most respected businessman in the country, but his name carried a lot of weight. And now whenever you hear his name, people go, yeah, but, you know, he's nuts. You know that.
Well, I think you have to think of it in the context of what he does. He's managing property for people all over the world. He's bringing them in to make investments in real estate. And if you're in some foreign land and you hear the name Donald Trump and say, oh, my Lord, he was a presidential candidate, he has all these connections, you might well be impressed.
What was your experience like with Jimmy Hoffa?
Jimmy Hoffa was trying to convince us to bail him out. The Justice Department was checking out the deals that the union had invested in, and there were a lot of bad deals. And he was looking for someone to take the deals off his hand and provide funding to them to do so. So he offered us funding in order to take off the deals. And my partner, Howard Weingro, a very astute guy, went and checked out the property, one of which was the Oglethorpe Hotel in Georgia, and came back and said, Bob, no matter how much money he gives us, we can't bail out these deals. And so we finally reluctantly said, we can't do it. And he just kept upping the ante. And finally, he called Howard at a party one night. He said, Howard, this is Jimmy. He said, let me tell you, what do you want? How much money do you want? You want $50 million? And Howard kept saying, no, Jimmy, we really just don't think we can do the deal. And we were right not to do it.
So you know, people always go, every man has his price. Maybe that's not true then, is it?
Well, that wasn't the price anyhow.
No, okay. What's the best part, Robert? You've been an entrepreneur for years. What's the best part about being an entrepreneur? And is there any downside to being an entrepreneur?
Yeah, there's definitely a downside to being an entrepreneur. And as you know, the old adage, you can tell the pioneers, they're the guys with the arrows in their back.
Yep.
Well, many times when you're an entrepreneur, and it's happened in my case a number of times, when you're doing something that's at the cutting edge and you're ahead of everybody else, but sometimes you're too far ahead. And what you're doing doesn't work, and you end up with the arrows in your back. And you have to be prepared to take the pain, because that's part of being an entrepreneur. You have to be willing to take the risk to achieve your goal. You have to be willing to embrace new ideas and initiatives and try something new, even if you know that there is pain that follows failure.
Who's the best at this that you've ever encountered?
Boy, there are a lot of really talented guys in the world. But I guess Warren Buffett has got to be the best, right?
yeah. Do you mean just monetarily or overall?
No, I mean, here's a guy who's gone into a field that everybody else is in. I mean, it's not like they made a new invention. It's not like Steve Jobs with a whole new invention, a whole new field. He went into a field that everybody else is in. He went into businesses. He's gone into businesses that everybody else is in, and he made more money from them than anybody else has in history. So that, I think, is amazing.
And do you, is there something, like, as you've done this for the years that you've done this, Robert, do you tend to notice that there are trends in the people who are good at what they do? Can you just point at a couple of things and go, well, they all have this in common or that in common?
Well, I think one of the things they all do have in common is a willingness to try something new, a willingness to look at something a different way. I always talked about one of the people I did business with was a partner of mine for a number of years, that he would turn over a coin. Everybody else is looking at the head, and he would turn it over while you were looking at the head, and he would look at the tail and say, hey, look at this. This is different. You need to have that willingness, you know, to do it. And then you need to be willing to take the risk. There's a great story that I know that you have a background in the humor field.
Mm-hmm.
Great story about this guy, Max, who keeps going to the synagogue and imploring God to let him win the lottery. You know, and week after week, he says, Max, he says, God, please let me win the lottery. Please let me win. And finally, in the last week, he says, God, I'm at the end of my rope. Please let me win the lottery. And then the stentorian voice comes out and says, Max, help me out. Buy a ticket. You know, you've got to buy a ticket. And I say this to the younger generation. I say it to my grandchildren. You've got to get into the game. However you get into the game, these are difficult times for young people, as you well know.
Sure.
It's a very tough job market. Many of them are coming out of school with heavy debt. Many of them can't afford to get to school. But the one thing I keep saying to them is, look, whatever choice you have, just get into the game, because once you're there, you can move, you can maneuver, you can meet people, you can change your life, you can affect what you do. But if you just sit on the sidelines, you can't do anything.
Robert Lifton has written a book called An Entrepreneur's Journey, Stories from a Life in Business and Personal Diplomacy. We will find out more of those stories and what it's like to be around so many successful people. That's coming up in just a moment, so stick around. This is WGN. It's Bill Leff on WGN, along with Robert Lifton, an entrepreneur, a contributor to the Huffington Post, a leading expert on the Middle East, and the author of his newest book, An Entrepreneur's Journey, Stories from a Life in Business and Personal Diplomacy. Just a few minutes ago, Robert, you were talking about risk, that risk is one of the most key elements in being a good entrepreneur. What's the biggest risk you've ever taken?
Well, just one after another. And I'll give you one example, though, of how you revisit your prior life. For example, I had a lot of connections to Chicago because my wife was born and lived in Wilmette, Illinois.
Mm.
And went to Nutrier High School.
Mm-hmm.
And our wedding night we spent at the house on the roof at the Ambassador Hotel. That was a place where Frank Sinatra used to hang
out.
My father-in-law was in the hotel business. He got us that at. Well, many years later, I was offered the opportunity to buy the Ambassador's East and West, and I did. And so the company that I owned bought them. Now, a similar pattern was when I was in the Navy for 3.5 years. For 2.5 years, I served on the USS Coral Sea, you know, a major carrier,
mm-hmm.
and during the Korean War. And one day, my partner came in and said, you know, some guy is offering us an opportunity to buy ships from the Navy. I said, what do we want to do that for? We don't know anything about ships in the Navy. He said, what if I told you that the first ship we can buy is the USS Coral Sea? And I said, oh, my God. He's a kid who grew up in Depression years in Brooklyn. And now is buying the aircraft carrier he served on, the U.S. Navy. And so we bought it. And I would like to tell you that the story ended happily, but it didn't. We had a lot of problems with the Navy and scrapping it. We finally sued them, and we won. But that's the kind of thing you have to be prepared to do.
So you didn't think as a younger man, Robert, when you were serving on that ship, you didn't think that someday I'll probably own this. That probably never entered into your head, did it?
Last thing in my mind, believe me. All I was thinking of is how the hell can I get off here?
Yeah, of course.
And get back to the real world. Yeah.
One of the people I know you had some encounters with is the now infamous Bernie Madoff. Give me a little background there. How'd you come into contact with Bernie Madoff?
Well, for Bernie Madoff, when I was president of the American Jewish Congress, the person who was one of the large contributors was someone whose funds were whose husband had died, and her money was being run by Bernie Madoff, and she was making a lot of money, you know. And so she introduced me to Bernie, and he took me around to show me his operation, and he became a trustee of the American Jewish Congress. And years later, my cousin came to me and said that the Wilpon Group, you know, who owned the Mets, have asked if we want to join with them in investing in Bernie Madoff's deals. So I said, sure. I know him. He's a good guy. He was a, you know, a trustee, et cetera, et cetera. And so my cousin and I, my partner, put a lot of money with Madoff, and the rest is an unhappy history. So I not only knew him, but I was victimized by him, like a lot of other people were.
You know how they say, Robert, in poker, if you're playing poker with a guy, he'll have what they call a tell. There'll be a certain move or two that you know, something's up with this guy. With Bernie Madoff, were there any tells? Was there anything to lead you to believe that you could be in some trouble?
No. In fact, I met him after investing with him, and I had contributed money to some cause that he wanted help for, and I came to a dinner party, and he hugged me and kissed me and thanked me, and there was just no way to know.
Are American entrepreneurs different from entrepreneurs in other parts of the world? Is there any distinction?
I don't think there's any basic distinction. I think people who are risk takers and willing to you know move and do things, I think there's more flexibility here traditionally. There's a more recognition. This country was built by entrepreneurial spirit. There's less acceptance of that abroad, but basically I think it's the same kind of approach, and that's the kind of approach, by the way, you mentioned the Middle East, that's the kind of approach I think that's necessary politically as well as in business. We need an approach in both in terms of the economy here. We're watching a change in what I think is a structural change in the job world. It's not just that there's offshore losses of jobs offshore, although it is that, and it's something that we suffered in companies that we owned. Mm-hmm. We used to own a company called Members Only. I don't know if you remember the jackets.
Sure. Anthony Geary used to do the commercials.
Okay, we used to own that company. And what we found, and Gene companies doing manufacturing in the South, and slowly we lost that business abroad. And so that was one source of loss of jobs. But the other source of loss of jobs is the technological change.
Yeah.
Companies allowing companies to do a lot more with a lot fewer people so that their productivity has increased and their earnings have increased, but the jobs are being lost. And you see examples of that everywhere. And I think as a nation, we need a whole new entrepreneurial approach to solve that issue. Just as in the Middle East, the issues between the Israel and the Palestinians need a whole new approach. The existing approach is not working at all, and they're not getting anywhere.
I know this is unfair to ask you, Robert, with a minute left, but because you're an expert on the Middle East and you brought it up, I'm curious, do you think we'll ever see true peace in that region? Is that ever going to happen in our lifetimes?
I think it's going to be very difficult to do. I think it's going to take a new and different approach by this country leading other countries in the world to actually lay down a marker of what we think is the appropriate deal and then prod both parties to that specific deal, as opposed to just letting them keep on going as they're going now, which will end up in nothing happening good for either party.
I would love to see something happen, and I know you would, because I know how much time and effort you've spent on this, but that would be a nice thing. Robert Lifton has written a tremendous book. It's called An Entrepreneur's Journey, Stories from a Life in Business and Personal Diplomacy. Robert, it was great meeting you. Thanks for spending some time with us.
My pleasure.